terrible to go back home, back to Godhead. Okay. So, let's get into Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's not waste any more time. Let's chant the invocation prayers.
Nigamakalpatarorgalitam phalam, Nigamakalpatarorgalitam phalam, Sukamukatamrita dravasam yutam. Pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam, Muhuraho rasika bhuvibhavukaha. Narayanam namaskritya, Naram chaiva narottamam, Devim Saraswatim Vyasam, Tato jayam mudiraye, Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, Nityam bhagavata sevaya, Bhagavatyuttama shloke, Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Readings from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 6, Chapter 19, titled Performing the Punsona Ritualistic Ceremony. The verse on the board is verse 13. This is also not full because verse 13 is a 1.5 verse. Somehow, just they wrote the one verse. So, we'll try to manage. So, the half verse, you have to just depend on me and just repeat. Guna vyakti rayam devi, Guna vyakti rayam devi, Vyanjako gunabhuk bhavan, Vyanjako gunabhuk bhavan, Tvam hi sarva sarir yatma, Tvam hi sarva sarir yatma, Sri sarirendriya shah, Sri sarirendriya shah, Namarupe Bhagavati, Namarupe Bhagavati. Pratyayastvam apashrayah, Pratyayastvam apashrayah, Gunavyaktiriyam devi, Vyanjako gunabhukbhavan, Tvam hi sarvasarirya-atma, Sri Sarirendriye Shah, Namarupe Bhagavati, Pratyayastvam Apashrayah. Gunavyaktiriyam Devi, Vyanjako Gunabhukbhavan. Tvam hi sarva sarir yatma, Sri sarir indriyaya shahya, Namarupe bhagavati, Pratyayastvam apashrayah, Gunavyaktirayam devi, Vyanjako gunabhukbhavan, Tvam hi sarva sarir yatma, Sri sarir indriyaya shah, Namarupe bhagavati, Pratyayastvam apashrayah,
గుణవ్యక్తిరియం దేవి వ్యంజకో గుణభుక్ భవాన్ త్వం హి సర్వశరీరాత్మా శ్రీ శరీరేంద్రియాశయః నామరూపే భగవతి ప్రత్యయస్త్వం అపాశయః మాతజీస్ గుణవ్యక్తిరియం దేవి వ్యంజకో గుణభుక్ భవాన్ త్వం హి సర్వశరీరాత్మా శ్రీ శరీరేంద్రియాశయః నామరూపే భగవతి ప్రత్యయస్త్వం అపాశ్రయః గుణవ్యక్తిరియం దేవి వ్యంజకో గుణభుక్ భవాన్ త్వం హి సర్వశరీరాత్మా శ్రీ శరీరేంద్రియాశయః నామరూపే భగవతి ప్రత్యయస్త్వం అపాశ్రయః గుణవ్యక్తిరియం దేవి వ్యంజకో గుణభుక్ భవాన్ త్వం హి సర్వశరీరాత్మా శ్రీ శరీరేంద్రియాశయః నామరూపే భగవతి ప్రత్యయస్త్వం అపాశ్రయః గుణవ్యక్తి ద రిజర్వాయర్ ఆఫ్ క్వాలిటీస్ ఇయం దిస్ దేవి గాడెస్ వ్యంజకః మేనిఫెస్టర్ గుణభోగ్ ద ఎంజాయర్ ఆఫ్ ద క్వాలిటీస్ భవాన్ యు త్వం యు హీ ఇన్ డీడ్ సర్వ శరీరీ ఆత్మా ద సూపర్ సోల్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ శ్రీ హీ the goddess of fortune, sharira, the body, indriya, senses, ashayaha, and the mind, nama, name, rupe, and form, bhagavati, lakshmi, pratyayaha, the cause of manifestation, tvam, యు అపాశ్రయ ది సపోర్ట్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ప్లీజ్ రిపీట్ విత్ మీ మదర్ లక్ష్మి హూ ఇస్ హియర్ ఈస్ ద రిజర్వాయర్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ స్పిరిచువల్ క్వాలిటీస్ వెరాస్ యు మేనిఫెస్ట్ అండ్ ఎంజాయ్ ఆల్ దీస్ క్వాలిటీస్ ఇన్ డీడ్ యు ఆర్ యాక్చువల్లీ the enjoyer of everything. You live as the super soul of all living entities. And the goddess of fortune is the form of their bodies, senses, and minds. She also has a holy name and form. Whereas you are the support of all such names and forms and the cause of their manifestation. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Madhvacharya, the Acharya of the Tattvavadis, has described this verse in the following way. Vishnu is described as Yajna personified and Mother Lakshmi is described as the spiritual activities and the original form of worship. In fact, they represent spiritual activities and the super soul of all yajna. Lord Vishnu is the super soul even of Lakshmi Devi, but no one can be the super soul of Lord Vishnu. For Lord Vishnu himself is the spiritual super soul of everyone. According to Madhvacharya, there are two tattvas or factors. One is independent and the other is dependent. The first tattva is the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. And the second tattva, and the second is the Jiva tattva. Lakshmi Devi, being dependent on Lord Vishnu, is sometimes counted among the Jivas. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas, however, describe Lakshmi Devi in accordance with the following two verses from the Prameya Ratnavali of Baladeva Vidyabhushan. The first verse is a quotation from the Vishnu Purana. Nityaiva sa jagannmata Vishnu sarira anapayini yatha sarvagato Vishnus tataiveyam dvijottama Vishnu syu shaktayas tisras tashu ya kirtita para swaiva shri stat abhinneti praha shishyan prabhur mahan. O best of the brahmanas, Lakshmiji is the constant companion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, and therefore she is called Anapayini. She is the mother of all creation. As Lord Vishnu is all-pervading, his spiritual potency, Mother Lakshmi, is also all-pervading. Lord Vishnu has three principal potencies: internal, external, and marginal. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has accepted Parashakti, the spiritual energy of the Lord, as being identical with the Lord. Thus, she is also included in the independent Vishnu Tattva. In the Kantimala commentary on the Prameya Ratnavali, there is this statement: Nanu Kvachit Nitya Mukta Jivat Jivatvam Lakshmeyaha Svikritam Tatraha Praheti Nityaiveti Padye Sarva Vyapti Kathanena Kalakaksheti Adi Padya Dvaye Shuddho Apiti Uktacha Mahaprabhuna Swasishyan Prati Lakshmya Bhagavat Advaitam Upadishtam Kvachit yat tasyastu dvaitam uktam tat tu tat avishta nityamukta jivam adhaya sangatamastu. Hare Krishna. We are so fortunate that we have Prabhupada. Although some authoritative Vaishnava disciplic successions count the goddess of fortune among the ever-liberated living entities, Jivas, in Vaikuntha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in accordance with the statement in the Vishnu Purana, has described Lakshmi as being identical with the Vishnu Tattva. The correct conclusion is that the description of Lakshmi being different from Vishnu are stated when an eternally liberated living entity is imbued with the quality of Lakshmi. They do not pertain to Mother Lakshmi, the eternal consort of Lord Vishnu. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vande Aham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tatta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Krupa Sindhu Vyevacha. पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमाओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन्निति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे। नमो विष्णुदाय कृष्णप्रष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमती जयप्रताप स्वामिन् नाम्ने। नमः चपदायप्रदने गोरगतदाम्नाय नगरकामतरणे मुखं करोति वाचालं तुङ्गं लिङ्गायते गिरिमित्कृपातं हनुमन्दे श्रीगुरुं जनतारिणं प्रमाणन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरं कथाञ्चन स्मृते यस्मिन् दुष्करं सुकरं भवेत् स्मृते उपरीतं स्यात् श्रीचैतन्यनमामितम्। Hare Krishna. So we'll just deal with the translation of the other two verses or the three verses, just to put us into context, and then we'll try to discuss something on this specific verse. So verse 10 translation goes like this: one should offer obeisance unto the Lord with the mind humbled through devotion. While offering dandavats by falling on the ground like a rod, one should chant the above mantra 10 times. Then one should chant the following prayers. Then the prayers goes like this: my dear Lord Vishnu and Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, you are the proprietors of the entire creation. Indeed, you are the cause of the creation. Mother Lakshmi is extremely difficult to understand because she is so powerful, and the jurisdiction of her power is difficult to overcome. Mother Lakshmi is represented in the material world as external energy, but actually she is always the internal energy of the Lord. My Lord, you are the master of energy, and therefore you are the supreme person. You are the sacrifice, yajna, personified. Lakshmi is the embodiment of spiritual activities and is the original form of worship offered unto you. Whereas you are the enjoyer of all sacrifices. And then comes our verse, where it says, Mother Lakshmi, who is here, is the reservoir of all spiritual qualities, whereas you manifest and enjoy all these qualities. Indeed, you are actually the enjoyer of everything. You live as the super soul in all living entities, and the goddess of fortune is the form of their bodies, senses and minds. She also has a holy name and form, whereas you are the support of all such names and forms and the cause of their manifestation. It is nicely explained in Brahma Samhita. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavita Vista Bhirya Yeva Nijarupa Taya Kalabhi Goloka Yeva Nivasat Akilatma Bhuto Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajam. The Lord is Ananda and Chinmaya, and His expansion is Srimati Radharani, and her expansions are the different gopis. So it's nicely explained that how the Lord expands by His energies and potencies. So in this specific purport, Prabhupada is discussing about Madhvacharya's interpretation of this verse, where Madhvacharya actually interprets Lakshmi as a jiva. And then Prabhupada goes on to cite the evidence from Pramey Ratnavali, which is written by Baladeva Vidyabhushan, which actually is a short commentary on Govinda Bhashya itself. And in Pramey Ratnavali, Baladeva Vidyabhushan deals with the nine principal teachings of Madhvacharya, which are called the nine prameyas. So the nine prameyas are as follows. The first prameya is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the second one is the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known by the study of Vedas. The third one, the material world is real. The fourth one is the jivas are different from Lord Vishnu. And the fifth one is that the jivas are by nature servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sixth one is that in both liberated and conditioned state, the jivas are situated in higher and lower statuses. And the seventh one is that liberation does not mean impersonal merging, but attainment of direct service to Krishna. The eighth one is that the pure devotional service grants liberation. The ninth one is direct perception, logic and Vedic understandings are the three sources of knowledge. So these are the nine principal teachings of Madhvacharya, which actually are discussed by, these are also directly the commentaries on Vedanta Sutra. So they are actually discussed by Baladeva Vidyabhushan on his book Prameya Ratnavali. And he gives the Gaudiya interpretation of the whole thing, where he reconciles certain aspects of how Madhvacharya presents the truth. Because in the four sampradayas, the truth is presented. But what, and whatever is presented is correct. But the difference is that how they approach the truth and how they word it, that is what is different. Okay? Because they all have their specific significance in terms of time, place and circumstance where they present it. For example, Madhvacharya was presenting his philosophy with a singular idea in mind to defeat Mayavada philosophy. So when he is presenting his philosophy, he is just focused on this one thing, that how to destroy Mayavada philosophy. When Ramanuja is presenting his philosophy, he has a particular goal. He is using every reference Shankaracharya used, and he is actually breaking Shankaracharya's philosophy. This is Ramanuja's style of presentation. Ramanuja takes whatever Shankara quotes from Bhagavad Gita, Ramanuja takes from Bhagavad Gita. Shankara quotes from some other place, Ramanuja takes from some other, that same place. And then every time he reinterprets in such a way that is very clearly understood that Narayana is Parabrahman and Jiva is the servant of Narayana, and pure devotional service is the way for liberation. So every Acharya has his order from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they are very chaste to that order. They are very chaste to that order, that the Lord orders them, okay, go and do this and present this philosophy and defeat this set of people. Then they become very chaste to that order. And then they just focus on that one thing, like Madhvacharya is focusing on that one thing, that the Supreme is different. He's just focusing on this one thing, don't touch the Supreme Lord, he is different. Whatever you do, whatever circus you make, you are not going to become the Supreme. He is different. He is emphatic in presenting this. And then he takes from everywhere, he presents evidence. He does not worry about what Shankara is presenting or what these people are presenting. He takes evidence from all over the scriptures. And then with a singular intent of destroying Mayavada philosophy, he goes on shooting evidence after evidence. No, no, no. Supreme is different. Krishna is different. Don't touch him. You cannot touch him. So in the process of doing this, he actually presented four unique teachings, which is not found anywhere else in the Vaishnava philosophy. They are unique because they are a separate presentation of how the truth is presented. One unique teaching which he presented was that if you want to attain liberation, first you have to go to Brahmaloka. The path of liberation is through Brahmaloka. You go and sit in Brahmaloka. When Brahma's time of annihilation comes, then you will go along with Brahma back. Then he said, if you have to go to Brahmaloka, you have to strictly follow Varnashrama. There's no question of Tattvavadis don't accept this going back home, back to Godhead in this one lifetime. They don't accept this. They say you have to take multiple lifetimes, you have to become perfect Shudra, then perfect Vaishya, then perfect Kshatriya, then perfect Brahmana, and in perfect Brahmana, you have to become perfect Brahmana Sannyasi. You take 100 lifetimes as perfect Brahmana Sannyasi, then you can think of going back home, back to God. This is how they work. Okay? Why? Because Madhva wants to prove that it's not so easy, it's not so cheap that you'll simply go and sit with Krishna and dance with Krishna. Forget it. He is so strict. He is different. If you want to go there, if you're thinking of going there, you have to purify yourself. You have to purify yourself so much that it's just not so easy that, okay, I'll just go there. Not like that. Not like, you know, you think somewhere, you sit somewhere, you think somewhere, aham brahmasmi, you say neti, 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 then you open some hospital, some school, and then you'll become Brahman. Nonsense. So he wants to prove his point. Okay? And then he also says that demigods are great devotees. And then he also says that Lakshmi is a jiva. Because he wants to prove his point. He says, nobody is equal to Krishna. Nobody is equal to Vishnu. That is his Taraka Mantra. That is what he is going to say again and again and again when you approach Madhvacharya. That's why then Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay? And then he presents the original. Because the four Acharyas have presented the original in four flavors. So then he presents the original. And when he presents the original, naturally the four Acharyas commentaries or four Acharyas presentations get reconciled in the original. So Mahaprabhu's presentation of Achintyabheda Abheda Tattva is a natural reconciliation of the four Vaishnava philosophies. He did not take them, this is nice, so let me take this from here. Oh, this is nice, let me take this from here. No, he did not do like that. He just presented the original. When he presented the original, all the different varieties got reconciled automatically. Because that is the original. He is the original presenter of philosophy to the all four sampradayas. He taught Lakshmi. He taught Shiva. He taught Brahma. He taught the Kumaras. So he is the original presenter of philosophy to the all four sampradayas. So when he comes and presents the original, everything gets reconciled. Everyone is happy. Oh, everything is reconciled. We are also even more happy because he told, oh, chanting Hare Krishna, you can go back home, back to Godhead. He said that immediately, this lifetime. Prabhupada made this more easier. This lifetime, you just follow me, you can go back home, back to Godhead. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But we have to learn a very important lesson from Madhvacharya. That's my one take-home message today. Very, very important lesson we have to learn from Madhvacharya. What is that? We have to be chaste to the order of our superior. This is our take-home message for the class. Like Madhvacharya is so chaste to the order of the Lord that he simply does everything to break Maya of the philosophy. He does not worry. It's not that he doesn't know. We should not think that he is in ignorance. He doesn't know. Oh, he doesn't know Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. No. It is not his mandate to present it. So he does not present it. He has a different mandate. He does not go beyond his mandate. Even though he has the capacity to do it, he has the knowledge to do it. But he does not go beyond his mandate. That's a very important lesson we need to take from the teachings of Madhvacharya. That Prabhupada gave us a mandate. We have to remain chaste to the mandate of Prabhupada. Because he is the one who is going to save the world. We are not the one who are going to save the world. We should be very clear about this. We should not think that I am going to save this world. Our idea is that we are going to become instruments in the hand of Prabhupada to save this world. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in the 11th chapter, a very favorite verse for me, I keep quoting it often. He says that, Nimitta Matram Bhava Savya Sachin. Very beautiful statement. And it is also a joke. It is also a statement which has some deeper meaning. Because in Mahabharata war, many people had many talents. And Arjuna had a specific talent. What is the talent? That he can throw arrows with both the hands. That's why he is called a Savya Sachin. He can throw arrows with both the hands. So in a military situation, this is very, very required skill because he is doubly productive. He is not simply dependent on single hand. He is doubly productive. A double productivity. So he can kill two times the more people. So a very, very, very useful skill to have. And he is also decorated with all different heavenly weapons. He has all of them, including the Pashupata, which is Lord Shiva's personal weapon. So now he is double trouble because he has this the ability to throw arrows from both the hands. And he is also decorated with all the heavenly weapons. So then Arjuna might think that because I have all these unique skills, then I am the one who is going to win the war. And then Krishna says, He uses two words, very beautiful words. He does not say nimitta bhava savyasachin. He says nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. He qualifies that only you remain the instrument. He does not say just remain instrument. He qualifies that by saying only you remain instrument. Of course, an intelligent, self-thinking, intelligent instrument. When we say that be an instrument, it does not mean that you don't use your intelligence. It does not mean that. It is not automatically excluded that you should not use your intelligence. It simply means that we should not overuse our intelligence. We should use our intelligence within our mandate. That's an important thing. That's a very important thing. Intelligence should be used. Endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called enthusiasm. This is what Prabhupada says in the purport of Nectar of Instruction. So there should be endeavor, there should be execution, there should be intelligence. But everything should be used as being an instrument of Srila Prabhupada. So how to do that? For that, first we have to understand how to become instrument of Prabhupada. So if you have to understand how to become instrument of Prabhupada, then the main thing is we have to read and hear from Srila Prabhupada. We have to read his books. We have to hear his lectures. Then you'll understand what the founder Acharya wants. What he wanted us to do, what he wants us to do, what is his plan for saving the whole world. Then we fit in according to our own inclination, according to our own desire. We fit in somewhere and then try to become instrument. We don't become some self-activated instruments. We remain chaste to the teachings of the founder Acharya. So to remain chaste to the teachings of founder Acharya, we should read his books. We should study his books. We should study them scrutinizingly. Prabhupada says in the purport to the first verse of Bhagavad Gita, he says that it should be studied scrutinizingly. So that is our first job. Of course, it does not mean that we don't chant our rounds, don't mistake me. Okay, we chant our rounds, we attend Mangala Arati, we do everything. Along with that, we also spend quality time to scrutinizingly study Srila Prabhupada's books and hear him. This should be our first priority. Of course, there are many books written by many nice devotees who are disciples of Prabhupada, who are followers of Prabhupada. It's all very important not to minimize any of them. But our first priority should be to read Prabhupada's books, because this is our original philosophy. Without reading Prabhupada's books, if we try to read other books, then there is a chance, it's not an absolute statement, there is a chance that we may not fully understand what Prabhupada is trying to say. Because when everyone reflects Prabhupada's philosophy, they also reflect it in their own mood. I'm not saying it is wrong. Prabhupada himself instructed his disciples to write books. So I'm not saying it is wrong. But our first priority should be to read and hear Srila Prabhupada. Then we can position ourselves properly. We can understand that Prabhupada wants us to cooperate. We can understand that Prabhupada wants us to cooperate to further this mission with a certain aspects very clearly specified. Then we do not become phobic about certain things. We do not become afraid of Varnashrama. Because we know that Prabhupada wanted this. Of course, it's not the only thing Prabhupada wanted. Amongst many things, Prabhupada wanted Varnashrama also. Prabhupada wanted Mayapur to be a self-sufficient agrarian economy. We don't become afraid of this. We may not be there today, but this is something which Prabhupada wanted. So we don't become very afraid of talking about this or planning for this. It may not manifest in our lifetime. It doesn't matter. But we have to do our part. We have to become instruments in manifesting this. We may be a squirrel which is just throwing one small stone for Setu Bandhana. But that squirrel has its importance in throwing that stone. Some Hanuman will come and throw a big stone and make the whole bridge. Doesn't matter. That small stone of the squirrel has its own importance. So all of us should understand that what Prabhupada wanted. I'm taking specific things because I'm sitting in Mayapur and talking. I'm talking things about Mayapur. But our movement is a global movement. And Prabhupada wanted many things. And what he wanted is explicitly is expressed in black and white in his purpose. And Prabhupada's disciples are there. It's a very wonderful opportunity. That opportunity has a very short window of maybe another 15 years, 10 years. That opportunity has a short window. After that, the responsibility comes to the third generation. And that's really scary. Because it's no longer them. There's no GBC to blame. We are the GBC. It's no longer them. It's us. It's us. That reality we have to face. So if you have to face that reality, then we have to utilize that opportunity. We have to utilize that small window which is available to us to the maximum extent. We have to take maximum association of all Prabhupada disciples and try to know that how Prabhupada dealt with things, how Prabhupada did things. This is a treasure for us. And then we remain chaste to the mission of Srila Prabhupada. That chastity is very important. Bhagavatam is all about chastity. Bhagavatam is about becoming sati, not remaining asati. Becoming chaste to the instructions of Prabhupada. Meditating on those instructions. How can I follow these instructions? Prabhupada says that even if one person becomes a pure devotee, then I will consider his mission a success. So how can I become a pure devotee? How can I save myself? If everyone thinks like this, and if everyone tries to chant Hare Krishna without offense, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And if everyone follows the four regulative principles very strictly, very, very strictly, then there's no problem. The whole ISKCON will remain like a Vaikuntha. So this is in our hands to become nice instruments of Prabhupada. And this we learn from Madhvacharya, that how to remain chaste to the order of the Supreme Lord, of the superiors. Hare Krishna. Okay, comments, questions? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, of course, it's 8:45, so someone wants to leave, free to leave. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for your wonderful class this morning. And I have a question. In the devotional service, there is nine devotional service are very important, the Kshavana and the Kirtana. Just now you mentioned that we should listen to Srila Prabhupada's teaching. And also, sometimes we should also to distribute Srila Prabhupada's teaching with the same, I think, as same as Srila Prabhupada said. You mentioned that. And sometimes I find that some neophyte devotee, they like preaching, they like learning something, they also like preaching. But as they practice Krishna consciousness for themselves, like a sadhana, maybe they don't have a good sadhana. So my question is, which is more important, listen to Srila Prabhupada and preaching, and the practice sadhana? Which is more important?
First of all, they two are non-different.
Okay. It's not that one is different from the other. Okay. Preaching is our sadhana and listening to Prabhupada is also our sadhana. Okay. So I heard, maybe Lakshmi Mataji can confirm, I heard that in the beginning days, Giriraj Maharaj, when he used to preach, he used to play the tape of Prabhupada, he used to listen one line and he used to say the same thing. Like that? Is it like that? I heard like this. So the point is that one has to remain chaste to Srila Prabhupada in the process of preaching. Prabhupada also said that small girl Saraswati, she can also preach. Like she is going around and saying everyone that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So for a neophyte, this is easy to preach. Chant Hare Krishna, accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can encourage them to say this. Chant Hare Krishna. Say, tell everyone, Yare Deko, Tare Kaho, chant Hare Krishna. Huh? Yes, Mathis. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. True. Yeah. So her specific question was what to do with neophytes who are interested to preach. Okay. Again, we also have to understand that the three levels of devotees. Okay. A person who practices and he preaches. And his practice is perfect, his preaching is also perfect. This first class devotee. Okay. A person who practices and he doesn't preach so much. This second class devotee. Okay. A person who preaches but doesn't practice. Third class. Okay. So, sometimes we have to look at ourselves. Are we first class, second class or third class? Sometimes we want to give a big fired up class. Do this, do that. But then come after we get out from the Vyasas and we need to meditate upon what we spoke. Easy to speak. So sometimes you need to meditate upon this. Whatever I am speaking makes sense to me? Am I doing this? Or I am just a third class devotee who is just interested in preaching because I get some name, fame and adoration. So preaching has to be encouraged, it's true, but then everyone should be given the mandate to preach. Like in the beginning, you can tell everybody, okay, Krishna is Supreme Personality of God, chant Hare Krishna, harmless. Ask them to distribute books, very good. So that way, we encourage people.
I have a question. You were speaking about how we should remain within the parameters of our mandate. And I've been meditating a little bit on how that, but beyond the philosophical mandate in the big picture, we each have our mandate in our seva, you know, what our seva is. For instance, Arjuna thought, maybe I'll become something other than a warrior, but his mandate was that he was a warrior, and Krishna told him, you have to do that. And I see a lot in Vidura that Vidura stayed very much within his mandate. And as soon as he saw that he couldn't accomplish what he wanted in his mandate, then he went on pilgrimage. When he saw an opening later, he came back and tried again, at least in one sphere. But it seems like in our movement, everybody feels like they have every mandate. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand.
It's like every one of us is a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, I don't know about Sutra, but at least all of us are the top three.
Yeah.
And it causes confusion.
Yeah. That's the reason why Prabhupada said that we need Varnashrama. Because Varnashrama, that's the reason why it's an important topic to discuss. Because when we have the template of Varnashrama, then it is so easy to identify our mandate. It's a natural template which Krishna gave. Krishna's template of Varnashrama is very natural. Because that actually, when we talk about Varnashrama and when we have Varnashrama, then this confusion will not be there because people will be naturally attracted towards what is their guna and karma, including a Shudra. Okay? They will naturally get attracted to what is their guna and karma. And especially when they know, when I know that I can simply go back home, back to Godhead by cleaning toilets, I don't have to worry about giving a Bhagavatam class. I don't have to break my head to read some very complicated, Sanskrit and then try to explain it, etc. I can simply be happy cleaning toilet and then I can go back home, back to Godhead.
That is the deficiency of not having Varnashrama. The moment you don't have Varnashrama, then everyone is forced under peer pressure to think that somehow I should become a Brahmana. Okay? The moment you have Varnashrama, then there is a variety. And that variety gives a natural attraction to a certain place. And then you can just remain there and you can remain happy. Sthane stitau sutigatam tanuvan manobhir. This is Bhagavata. That you can be sthane stitau, but you can still be sutigatam. That does not mean that people will not raise to mode of goodness or become brahmanical. There is a difference between doing brahmanical service and becoming brahmanical. There is a big difference between these two. Many times institutionally we have not understood this difference. This is what I feel. Everyone wants to do brahmanical service. No one is worried about becoming brahmanic. I'm not saying no one. It's not an absolute statement. Many times people don't understand the importance of becoming brahmanical. And many times it is understood, it is misunderstood that the externals of brahmanical service means that I am a brahmana. That I understand, that I accept a second initiation, Prabhupada said 2 paisa thread. So, actually our whole philosophy is against accepting this 2 paisa thread as a matter of status. And somehow, we are also falling into the same trap. That I have been in the movement for so many years, now I am a senior person, so I should have brahmanical initiation. No, brahmanical initiation means that whether we have brahmanical initiation or not brahmanical initiation, even if I am cleaning my toilet, I am supposed to clean it in mode of goodness. This is brahmanical. So, because we don't have that system which actually gives everyone the opportunity to fall in where they need, and because we have not sufficiently propagated the ideals of Devi Varnashrama, then there is an artificial pressure on the externals. That one is artificially pressurized to actually fall into certain externals. Then the whole thing becomes so complicated. Then we don't know what to do, how to handle things. Then the same thing happens that everyone wants to become everything. So then there's a whole mess. That's why Prabhupada said that Varnashrama is required. And it's an important topic. That's why also Prabhupada talked about so much about Sri Dharma. It's an important topic. Of course, we cannot put a gun on the woman and then say, follow Sri Dharma. It's not possible. Okay? But the education should start. Women should understand their natural role. Men should understand their natural role. This is all Varnashrama. But the moment we speak about these things, then people get scared. But there's nothing to get scared. A woman can remain a woman and go back home, back to Godhead, because we are not this body. A man can remain a man and go back home, back to Godhead, because we are not this body. But body is the instrument which is given to us by Krishna. And that instrument has some significance. So why to mess around with that instrument? On the name of philosophy. And when we try to mess around with the instrument on the name of philosophy, then we get confused. That's why Madhvacharya is such a nice example. He simply sticks to his mandate. So like that, women stick to their mandate, men stick to their mandate. Nothing is inferior in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada very nicely writes in one of the purports of 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, no service is abominable if it is done for the pleasure of Krishna. Somehow or other, we don't understand this single sentence. That's why there is so much confusion. Then we start thinking in terms of service being higher and lower. We think that this is higher service, so I should somehow aspire to do it. This is lower service, so let someone else do it. We are not happy to remain a Shudra. Why not? The best position to take in Krishna consciousness is to be a Shudra. Because naturally one remains humble in the position of Shudra. Trinatapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amani namanadina kirtaniya sadahari. If I take my position to clean toilets, then I can, Kirtaniya Sadahari naturally will come to me. Because that's the most humble position. And Krishna is attracted by humility. And there's a natural position of a Shudra, that simply he does service. Karma, that is his swabhava, that one actually engages in service. And that's our philosophy. That service is our currency to go back home, back to Godhead. So all of us should be happy to be Shudra. That's how we work. But then we have so much misunderstanding. Then it becomes complicated. Of course.
You know, to understand the limits, to understand what is, you know, even amongst women, there are different kinds of women. Amongst men, there are different kinds of men.
Yeah.
So what results in fear is that people shouldn't be afraid, but people are afraid. Actually, this is a joke, and I don't use the B word, which is varnashram. It's because, it, first of all, there's an attempt to force, as you mentioned. Is there, then nothing works. But also because it tends to be narrow-minded, and Prabhupada spoke about how we should be broad-minded.
Yeah.
So we need to figure out how to, and plus we're in a society, not in a society, in a culture, or lack of culture, that is all, it has very, very variegated across the universe, across the, at least this planet. And so, the application of that situation within the various places that we find ourselves, that was Prabhupada's expertise. We have to develop that expertise.
Yeah, sure.
So when you say to see how Prabhupada applied it, then that's a very important thing, because Prabhupada was an expert in figuring out, according to time, place, and circumstance, how to apply the situation so that we could all happily serve the situation.
Sure. It's very valid point that when I explain the importance of Varnashrama, it does not exclude automatically the flexibility it needs to apply the principles of Varnashrama. And when I talk about Sri Dharma, it doesn't stereotype a woman, because Kunti Devi is a Kshatrani. But again, when we see that that when it comes to Devahuti, even though she's a Kshatrani, she's a Brahmani. Even though she's born in for a king, but she's a Brahmani. Okay. So women, within women also, these varnas and ashramas apply. And they all have their relevance. So it doesn't that is the broad application of varnashrama. That when we talk about varnashrama, we are not stereotyping people. That the very nature of varnashrama means that it allows people to actually manifest what is their strength into the fullest. So varnashrama means variety. It does not mean narrow-minded thinking. That's why Krishna gave it as a template for the material world. Because Krishna knows, and Prabhupada writes, that variety is the mother of enjoyment. And Krishna is rasika, so he needs variety. So he gives the same template to the material world, so that the material world can operate on variety. So the natural template which allows variety to manifest within the principles of Krishna consciousness is Varnashrama. So when we talk about Varnashrama, we talk about accommodating broad varieties of people according to time, place, and circumstance. Of course, it requires a lot of deliberation. I agree with you that it's not easy. But the fact that it is not easy doesn't make it impossible. Because that's one of the mandates of our Acharya. So may not in our lifetime, may not in somebody else's life, in this generation, may not in your generation, may not in my generation, but we have to have the patience to actually sow the seeds for it so that the fruits will come out after 2-3 generations. That's my point. Hare Krishna. I cannot say no. I hope it is some comment or correction, not a question. No, Janyas Prabhu. Pankajagri, sorry. There's still a confusion for me.
thought the super soul was only for the in the material world, for the conditioned souls. But he says he's even the super soul of Lakshmi, who is all spiritual. I never heard that before.
Yeah, actually, that is reconciled by the commentary of Baladeva Vidyabhushan in Premier Ratnavali, where he says when the jiva has the potency to become like Lakshmi, and then there are some jiva Lakshmis who actually are endowed with the potency of Lakshmi Devi, and they are associates of Lakshmi Devi. So these jiva Lakshmis, when they are actually present in the material world, they have Vishnu as the super soul. So that's how it is reconciled. I hope it.
Okay,
I think it's too late. We'll stop the class. It's 9:05. If someone has questions, you can come to me. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande.